fascinating what's happening with the air. I've never seen it in my lifetime. I thought about my father, talking about the 40s and 50s, and his parents and my relatives that worked down the mill. And then I looked up pictures of the mills in the 30s and 40s, and then I posted a picture on social, and I said, Pittsburgh this morning or Pittsburgh in the 1940s, it's that dark and that dank. I want to get right to the man, Dr. Don Yeely. I really, because I don't know what the hell to tell people. I really don't. I don't know what the hell to tell people about what to do in this kind of weather. And Don Yeely, who's become a very close friend, on top of being a brilliant man and is working right now, what do you tell people, sir? What do I tell them? What do we tell them about this?
Well, thanks for inviting me on, Marty, and thanks for trying to get the message out. I think people have to be practical. If you can see the air that you're breathing, it's not a particularly good thing.
Oh, wow.
So my advice is stay away from the outdoors, particularly for long periods of time, unless you absolutely have to be there. Be in a well-ventilated area, particularly if it has air conditioning, because there's filtering involved with that, and that will help keep you safe. This is particularly true if you have any underlying heart or lung problems. The combination of the heat and all that particulate matter in the air is going to make it a challenge for you. Why would you want to feel how much you can tolerate? There's just no point to it. We're already seeing people who are having difficulty today from their underlying condition because of the air quality.
By the way, you just nailed it. This is why I love you, because you're a brilliantly pragmatic. You can use that if you want. So here's my thing about life in general. If you feel sick, and I think many of your doctors told this to me when I had cancer, if you feel sick, you're probably sick. If you feel good, you're probably good. Shouldn't people be kind of their own barometer, like, having trouble breathing here, maybe I should back off. You know what I'm saying, Doc? Be practical.
I think that's exactly right. Listen to your symptoms and listen early. That doesn't mean you always need to be seen by your physician or an emergency department, but listen early. And if things are more than mild, you have severe breathing problems, you feel like you're going to pass out, or you pass out, you need help, and go quickly. Don't tough it out.
You know, it's actually fascinating, the dynamic here, Doc, and I don't judge. They close the pools. They close the golf courses. Yeah, and I'm not judging. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot of money at stake. We're expecting a couple hundred thousand people at Picklesburg. How are those decisions made, and should there be a blanket shut everything down kind of thing?
Well, I think we learned a lot through the pandemic about some of the blunter tools that we do, always meant to keep people safe, maybe sometimes a counterproductive.
Nice.
This is done with collaboration Nice. Between both public health officials and governmental officials. And I do think limiting extended exposures outside makes a lot of sense. I don't think you have to make sure that everyone stays inside for 24 or 48 hours. You don't have to go quite that far.
Hey, Doc, are you seeing folks in your ERs who are having symptoms, sir, from this?
Yep, we already are. Most of these people with an underlying lung condition who just feel worse today. Now, if you ask me, couldn't you be seeing that on any summer day? The answer is yes. This seems a little different.
Yeah. By the way, to your point, and I think I'm a tough guy, and I'm actually not. Almost died about a month ago and proved that. However, to be honest with you, I was on the Peloton bike for 2.5 hours this morning, had no problems. If I had had any difficulty breathing, I would have stopped. And my point is, which I want you to kind of underline for us, can't you make decisions based on how you feel? Like, am I having shortness of breath? If I taste the air, which I did when I came here in the office, those sorts of things should be indicators, right?
I think you're absolutely right. Again, it gets back to paying attention to the signals and responding appropriately. It doesn't mean everyone has to go to the hospital or yep. have an emergency department visit. That's for more severe or things that don't get better. Pay attention to yourself. The biggest mistake is ignoring early symptoms and just hoping that they'll go away.
You know what I love, Doc? I'm getting a text like, we're weak, we're wimps. My father smoked 3 packs of Lucky Strikes. He worked in the mill. And then on weekends, he worked in the coal mines, and he was fine. I don't subscribe to that. Do you, sir?
Well, any one individual may tolerate all types of threats. What we know, though, the more people who are exposed to those things, whether it's cigarettes, the mills, that the frequency of cancer, heart and lung disease go up dramatically.
Nice.
Doesn't mean every singular person. Why would you want to find out?
Hey, Doc, what is it? Are there particulates in the air? What is it? Is it particles of a fire? What is it in the air, sir, that gets in our lungs? What the hell is it, actually?
It is very small particulate matter that's formed from the combustion far away, and it travels great distances since it's very small and light, and also some other gases. And the challenge, Marty, is this particulate matter, when you take a breath, it gets all the way down deep into your lung. And so you could have inflammation that happens quickly and more broadly than we're used to. It's why we're not saying put a regular mask on that. You know, if you were trying to mask here, it would have to be essentially one of the more advanced masks, because these are very small particulate matters.
This is why I love you again. So practical. Because I saw folks wearing those old fashioned COVID masks that really didn't work that much then.
Trevin, in New York, they're handing out.
They're not that effective, are they, Doc?
For this, I think they would provide modest, at best, protection. The better strategy is to be in a well-ventilated building that has air conditioning, because that filtering will already take care of things.
Hey, you said something that's very, very significant. We lost a lot of Americans in the game because they believed the government was controlling them during COVID, shutting everything down, and they screwed it up, so now they all hated the government. We got to be a little careful with this sort of thing because of that, don't we, sir?
I think you're right. I think one of the advantages we had here in southwestern Pennsylvania is that I think we had a little bit more clarity of the messaging during the pandemic and since then. And the kind of episode you and I are having right now, let's talk practically and reasonably with people rather than scaring folks or having a message that just doesn't seem right. And that's my goal here today. And I think you've done a very good job helping people learn how to pay attention to their needs individually and then what the do is to everyone around us.
Hey, Doc, Patrick just sent me a text. New York City's handing out KN95 masks. Any help, sir? Are they effective, sir?
You'd need that level of mask or better to be helpful. If you did the regular surgical masks, I don't think it'd be helping all that much. N95s do a pretty good job with this kind of particulate matter. The problem is, in this kind of heat, they're hard to wear.
Oh, they get hot?
They do.
Oh, so it makes it even more difficult in some regards to breathe.
Not so much even the difficult to breathe, but hard to be wearing it appropriately. And once you're not wearing it appropriately, its effect in keeping you safe actually goes down dramatically.
Doc, you're the best. Are you seeing a big jump of people walking in saying I can't breathe, or just kind of a trickle, sir?
A trickle would be, it would be unfair to characterize it as a big jump, but it's clearly noticeable.
And over an extended period, this could do long-term harm. Yes, right? Extended period.
It could. Mostly I'd expect, since we're looking at this to be a couple days, I would not expect there to be a large group of people who had long-term problems. But in any one person, particularly if they already had underlying lung problems, yes, this could be a big trigger.
The 5 employees that are working on a roof or working on a bridge or a construction project, and my man comes up and says, hey, boss, I'm having a hard time breathing. Do I have to respect that, sir?
I would. That's exactly the kind of person out there in the heat, and which means not only I have the thermal load, but they're going to likely be breathing deeper and faster because they're doing manual labor. Their risk is actually fairly high. The same with sporting events, Marty. Why would you have an event outdoor today when it could be moved?
My man, who's working right now saving lives, took time out to provide you folks with what I would consider to be life-saving information. Chief Medical Officer and good friend, Dr. Don Yearly. Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, thank you. Be safe.
I love the way he preaches it, man. Just very, very common sense.